A couple of weeks ago, we began our series on Asian American mental health. We introduced you to the Liu family, who run a support group in Oakland to help Chinese families navigate the complex American healthcare system.
Still, it's sometimes I don't quite 100% catch everything, you know, after being here for more than 20 years.
So that's why we would like share this information with other family.
Their hope is to remove barriers to care, including stigma, and get families to open up to treatment. Asian Americans tend to wait longer before seeking mental health care and often have more serious problems when they finally see a specialist. This plays into a surprising statistic among Asian American women. The CDC reports that young Asian American women have the second highest suicide rate among their age group. The same goes for Asian American women over 65. In the second installment of our series, Asian American Mental Health Inside Out, KALW's Erica Mu introduces us to two women whose stories shed light on that statistic.
The two women you're about to meet both are technically Asian American, but they couldn't have more different backgrounds. Isabelle Thuy Pilo is half Vietnamese, half French.
I was born in France and I grew up in France, but I came to the U.S. when I was 19.
Denise Sugita is fourth generation Japanese American.
And I'm from Southern California, a smaller area called Ontario.
But at the age of 19, Denise and Isabelle both ended up at the same crossroads. Each woman tried to kill herself. Now, what led Denise and Isabelle to that point is a combination of factors, including their life circumstances and their mental health. Let's start with Denise Sugita. When you meet Denise, you might think, she's nice, upbeat.
I'm really passionate about social justice and making changes in the communities.
Denise is 28 years old. She lives in Berkeley and works on a campaign for underserved youth. She's not an outspoken advocate type, though. She's quiet, has trouble making eye contact when she talks about herself and her family.
Like, since I was really, really little, just having the first memories of me hiding in my room, like, holding my dolls or just trying to comfort myself, just hearing my mother and father yelling at each other and my dad, like, me throwing dishes around.
As she says this, she pushes up her glasses with her thin hands and looks to the table.
I remember feeling a lot of emotions of fear, since I was really young, and I don't know, I think maybe it's carried on to me with my adult life.
Denise tells me school life was also really lonely. Thousands of miles away in France, Isabelle Thuy Pilo felt the same way. Growing up, her Asian features made her an outcast among her peers and even her extended family.
My mother, she was not accepted by my father's family in France, and we were always treated, her and I, as total, not only stranger, also, but very foreign, and like we came from another planet.
Today, Isabelle teaches at SF State University. She's beautiful, confident, a poet and an artist, identities she wouldn't have even dreamed about as a child.
For example, I remember when people will talk about me when I was present and they will use a word like she, I was really happy because it reminded me that I was a human being and not it.
Like Denise, she remembers violent fights between her parents. Both women struggled through middle school and then high school. And at age 19, both came to the same tipping point.
This is a journal that I've kept since I was 19 and just captured, I think, a few months of my life.
Denise flips through a thick, black, leather-bound journal. She reaches one particular entry, dated December 2nd, 2002. Denise was still living at home in Ontario at the time.
One of the last sentences, it says, I can hear my mom and grandmother talking. I think they want to call poison control or something.
When Denise reads the entry, it sounds like she's reading someone else's words. But when she describes the day's events, she shifts in her seat and explains. That night, she was in the family bathroom, and she reached for a bottle of pills.
So I just was at the sink, just, I think I poured a lot in my mouth and just got the sink water and just started drinking, just took that whole bottle. Yeah.
Denise's memories after that are a little fuzzy. She remembers her sister finding her throwing up on the bathroom floor, her mother and grandmother panicking and yelling at each other, the 911 phone call, and waking up in the hospital.
And I think I was just upset. I was angry. I wish I didn't wake up.
At the same age, Isabel was in France. She was suffering so much from her isolation that she even had trouble speaking.
From birth to 19, I was totally silent. I was mute, actually. When I tried to speak, I was stuttering. It's not a natural condition, and it has nothing to do with being Asian or having any Asian blood. This silence was forced on me because of my environment, because I was not seen as it was my place to speak. And when you cannot speak, you can internalize it, and it can be self-destructive.
So much so that at the age of 19, Isabel also tried to commit suicide. She wouldn't describe what happened that day to push her over the edge, but she did admit this.
I made a few attempts. I never told anyone. And even in the U.S., actually, I think I had that happened again a few years later. I had nobody to talk to.
There's a cultural practice of dealing with your distress and your feelings, your negative feelings, difficult feelings, on your own before burdening others with them.
That's Joyce Chu, a clinical psychologist in Palo Alto. Now, there's no single indicator that says one person's more likely to attempt suicide than another. There's still very little known about why it happens at all, much less in Asian American women. But Chu says that experts do know that professional help for young women like Denise and Isabel doesn't come early enough, if at all.
By the time they finally seek professional help, the severity of their mental health problems are much higher than compared to every other group.
Also, if you met someone who was suffering from depression or having suicidal thoughts, Chu says you might not know it.
The literature shows that the Asian Americans tend to express their distress more in their body rather than in emotion terms. So if you talk to an Asian American person who's depressed, they might not say, hey, I'm sad and I cry every day and I feel blue. The questions that we tend to ask to assess for depression, instead they might say, hey, I have a headache, I have a stomach ache.
And so it's not surprising that psychiatrists often miss these signals. That's assuming that the patient comes in to see a doctor at all. After their first suicide attempts, Isabel and Denise took divergent paths when it came to their mental illness. Denise sought therapy, even though she lacked support from her family.
As far as treatment goes, too, I've done both inpatient and outpatient treatment. And I did group therapy. I tried antidepressants.
But so far they haven't worked, Denise says. Her last suicide attempt was in 2010, when she was 26 years old.
I still feel the same way about life. I don't know. Yeah. Like, I don't know if I could get better or not get better. Yeah, it's just really frustrating, I think, for me.
Denise says she's still depressed and not getting help. But at least now, she's able to talk about it and is an open advocate for others to seek treatment early on. When Isabel was Denise's age, she still hadn't addressed her suicide attempts.
I have put a lot of energy and drive to move forward and forget the person I was because I'm not very proud of it. I want to kill her. I want to like, you know, she never happened.
When Isabel moved to the U.S., she says her English wasn't good enough to get treatment. Besides, she didn't have money or insurance. It wasn't until her mid-40s that she was ready to accept her former self. And that's when she reached out to Asian American artist Cynthia Tom.
I'm actually a visual artist, mainly doing surreal paintings and art installations that deal with social justice for women.
Cynthia asked Isabel an important question that would change the course of her mental health.
If you had a place of your own, what would it be?
Cynthia created and directs an art project called A Place of Her Own with the Asian American Women Artists Association. When she first started the project, she didn't know just how therapeutic a place of her own would be for participants like Isabel.
And she created this wonderful kind of nest of beautiful cotton strings and yarns and bamboo slats. And
and put a feather on top of it. And the feather is a symbol that reminded me of my last suicide attempt or thought of committed suicide when I was in my 20s. Because I had this little feather coming from the ceiling just when I was really in a bad space. And I just thought maybe it was one of my ancestors being there for me, because I didn't think my parents were for me. I didn't have a community. I didn't have a people. But I had this feather. And when that feather came into my hand, that's one very day, I changed my life around.
In the fall of 2010, Isabel showed her work at the Driftwood Salon in San Francisco. She enjoyed A Place of Her Own so much that she participated again in 2011.
And the reason I liked the art, the project, is because I didn't have to speak. Because it has to be, I didn't have to explain.
Cynthia Tom says that is the key benefit of art therapy. The ability to acknowledge past trauma without having to articulate it first. Still, Cynthia says, it's not a replacement for treatment. But Isabel agrees that her experience participating in the project has helped her heal from her past.
It's a slow process where I can start to speak a little bit more about this, or write about a little bit more about it, or make space for me to reflect on those times.
For both Isabel and Denise, healing from a suicide attempt isn't something that's going to happen overnight, or in 1 year, or through one art project. It's something they're going to carry with them for the rest of their lives. But both women are beginning to find the courage to release what for so long they thought they had to hold inside. In San Francisco, I'm Erica Mu for Cross Currents.